All right. Good morning, everybody. Good morning on this Sunday. I just can't believe we're halfway through October. I mean, time is flying. You know, it seems like we just started 2025 and now we'll be going into 2026. But I do believe that for the elect's sake, that he has made the time short, you know, so that we will be able to endure all of the things that are happening in the earth and what is coming in the very near future. I do want to thank you guys for praying for me this weekend. I had a big spiritual warfare hit me on Thursday, but I have overcome. I'm still recovering, so I do appreciate you guys praying. And I just want to encourage you this morning in Psalm chapter 42. It says, as the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? You know, yesterday, Dennis and I went to the Amish again, which I encourage you guys, you know, if you can find Amish near you, you will find the best vegetables because they are fresh. They pick them right out of the ground. I got some kale for our green drinks, and they just went right out in the garden and picked it. Oh, it's so awesome. And it looks a lot different than what you get in the stores. And the same with their apples, man. Their apples are just so awesome to your palate. And their seeds are luscious and brown like a tree. Where if you eat the apples from the store, the seeds are very small and black. It's really sad once you see what it's really supposed to look like, you know. But if you can find the Amish, you know, where you can buy the fruits and vegetables off them, it's really great. And I think about this scripture, you know, it says, my soul thirsts after God, you know, and like our body, we have to have water to survive. You know, we have to have the Lord to survive, especially in the great persecution that's ahead for us in 2026. You know, I'm going to do an emergency live at noon today after church and everything for people to go to church. And then I'm going to talk about that because the Lord, I cannot praise the Lord enough for warning us on our 3-day fast, the 1st of September. And all of them that participate, the Lord talked to us about it. He gave us a cloak, a garment. And, you know, he told us we are going into the great persecution this year. And bam, right after that was Charlie Kirk. And when I talk to you guys today about what happened in Washington this weekend, you'll see what I'm talking about. The Lord is so good to prepare us. You know, like he did last year when he said, get out of the metaverse, you know, and we got out of all social media and everything and bam, you know, what happened since then? AI swept everything. So the Lord, if we just follow the Lord, he will lead us out piece by piece and he will guide us all the way till we cross over to the other side. You know, Dennis and we have prayed with a lot of people lately, y'all. I mean, there are people out there having serious, serious issues right now, serious problems. People are dying all around them. And it's hard when you see what's happening and you see all these people dying. And they cannot see the forest for the trees because they're so caught up in the delusion, you know. And Pastor, he's going to talk to you guys about this today. The Lord once again has been dealing with Dennis this week, waking him up. You know, I mean, I am so honored to be married to this man. I'm honored to see God really pour into him like a fountain, you know, and for us to receive of the overflow. It's really awesome because God speaks to us every week about relevant stuff, you know, not the frou-frou. Y'all have to excuse my voice. I'm still recovering. Not the frou-frou, you know, but the real meat, you know, what we need as the church. And you're going to have to know what you believe, right? After I do this live broadcast today, you're going to be like, oh my goodness, it's here. What we have known is coming is here. And the Lord has prepared us. I mean, to God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things he has done. In his love he has saved us. In his power he has raised us. To God be the glory for the things he will do. So, going back to this scripture. As the deer panteth for the water, so thirsty for God is how we must be for his word and for his direction right now.
What psalm is that?
42. Why is it on your sermon?
No, but I'll talk about it.
I know you're itching to go, Papa, yes, sir. But when it says in my soul, thirst for God, you know, we are hungry and passionate for God to take us to the destiny that he has called us to. At the end, after Pastor gets done, I'm going to share a story of the first prophet that trained me. And me and Dennis talked about this yesterday, and you guys need to know this for where God is going to be taking you, because you're different. You are different. So embrace it. Don't be afraid of it. Don't be ashamed of it. Embrace it. You are unique and highly favored. You are called of the Lord. You are set apart for a reason. You are shunned for a reason. And God's going to use you in your very uniqueness, okay? All right, so, Papa, if you want to go ahead, you go ahead, and then I'll finish it, sir.
Okay, can you hear me all right?
Yes, sir, you have great audio.
Okay.
Hey, let me pray for you, Papa.
Sure.
Lord, we just come before you right now, and we thank you for the word that you're going to release through Papa, through Pastor today, Lord. And Lord, we just pray the anointing on him from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, Lord. We thank you for giving him this on time word, Lord. And may our spirits be willing to receive what the Spirit is saying unto the church today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, sir, you got the floor.
Okay, thank you, and thank everybody for being here. Looks like we're going to have another beautiful day. And yesterday we had a really, really good day. Just moseying our way down towards the Amish farms and driving around there. And like June was saying, you know, their produce is so good. You know, when that lady told June that she had kale, you should have seen her face light up. And she went out to her garden and come back with this huge bag just packed full. And what was it, $3 or $5? I mean,
yes,
you can't beat that. I mean, pick right out of the garden a great big bag full. I mean, that would have probably been $20 or better, you know, in the grocery store. And who knows what it might have been sprayed with, you know.
And so green, Pastor. It's, their stuff is so green and beautiful. It's amazing.
Yeah, and then their apples, you know, are just so good, you know. And I hardly even buy apples no more because, you know, when I was a little kid, we had, you know, my dad had probably 4 or 5 apple trees, you know, right beside our house. And they were just so good. I mean, we always had apples, and Mom was making apple pie and apple crisp and all that stuff, apple jam and jellies. And you know, you buy them in the grocery store, and they don't even taste right. Sometimes you'll get some, okay, that aren't too bad. But, you know, from what you remember when picking right off a tree. And then we found this place where we could get these apples, and we almost bought 3 bushels of apples. So you know how big a bushel is, a basket, you know, we not quite 3, but it was probably 2.5 bushels of 4 different types of apples. And they are good. So we're just so thankful for, you know, being able to go down there and do what we did and then go visit.
And their banana nut bread that they had made for just $3 for a whole loaf. Their stuff is so cheap.
Yeah.
Their apples, we got a big tub of peppers.
Yeah.
Yeah, a whole tub for just $5. And we're going to, what do you call that, Papa?
Dehydrate.
Yeah, dehydrate them.
And make our own peppers, you know.
Yes.
Jalapenos and sweet yellow and red.
Tomatoes.
So anyway, we just had a really good time yesterday, and then we went and visited, you know, Tabitha and her husband, and had just a wonderful time there.
Yes, it was amazing at Tabitha's house.
It was really nice to meet them, and
yes,
and made some awesome chili that we just really enjoyed. And but anyway, let's get on with the show here, I guess. And guess it was Wednesday morning I woke up with this James 1:5, and it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that he giveth to all men liberally and abrideth not, and it shall be given him. And when I read that, I thought, well, it says here he giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not. And right away I thought, well, what's that word? And it reminded me of how you put a bridle on a horse. You know, you put a bridle on a horse and you can pull it back to stop, or this way to go right, or this way to go left, you know. And, you know, and he's saying he abradeth not. So he's not pulling the reins back and saying, oh, don't go, you know. He's letting us come to him. You know, he's not stopping us or withholding us from going this way or that way. He wants us to come to him. And so when June read that scripture this morning in Psalm 42, as the hearth panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. You know, and I just, you know, that just popped up in my spirit, you know, right there. You know, we have to be like deer, just wanting to go, you know, our soul, every part of our being, just to go after God. You know, we need to, our soul needs to thirst for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? You know, when are you going to go to him? You know, we have to go now. It's urgent. And that's part of my message is, you know, if any of you lack, what are you lacking today? Wisdom. You know, now's the time. And I'm going to read, let me put a marker on here and go back to that James in my Bible. You know, we got to, the urgency is now. And not only that, you know, I mean, we have so many, each one of us have so many, you know, what do we, where do we go, Lord? What do we do here? What do we do there? You know, we need guidance, you know, and so we need wisdom in that. And that's kind of what I'm going to talk about. But, and so I went to Rick Renner's, and I'm not going to read all this, you know, sparkling gems from the Greek. And I thought, you know, I wonder what Rick has to say about this scripture. And I looked it up, and sure as, you know, sure as can be, boy, he's got some good stuff here. And I want to touch on part of it because, you know, what he says here, you know, that God, here, I'm just going to read this. God actually commands us to come to him when we need wisdom. Furthermore, the Greek word used to describe us asking God for wisdom indicates that God wants us to be firm and resolute when we request wisdom of him. You know, if you're lacking wisdom about, you know, and the list is long, you know, and for us, you know, it's Lord, which way do you want us to go? You want June to continue doing news or, you know, or get away from that or more just Bible study or, you know, and what do you want me to do on this farm? How do you want me to get ready for what's coming? You know, we've got lots of questions, you know, we're asking the Lord, you know, and for people calling us and wanting, you know, you got to get godly wisdom, you know, for all to get these answers that we're all needing, you know, wanting. So we're, you know, walking on that tough, narrow path, but that's the path that we need. Amen. Then it says, but before God will open his hand and give us the wisdom we need, there is a condition we must meet. That condition is spelled out very clearly in James 1. And you know, when I was reading this and pondering on it, you know, I never even thought about this. And then here I, you know, wonder what Rick thought. And I thought, so then I turned and I go, here it is. You know, the condition is spelled out very clearly in James 1 that where the Bible says, if any of us lack wisdom, let him ask of God. The condition we must meet to receive wisdom from God is found in the phrase of God. In Greek, these are the words parathua. The word para means alongside of, and it depicts a very close, side-by-side, intimate position next to someone else. Can we say a deer, you know, putting his head down by that living water, and we're right next to him, you know, come alongside. The word theo is the Greek word for God. When these words are placed together in a phrase, as in this verse, it pictures a person who comes right alongside of God, who comes as close to God as possible, who stands side by side with him. In this statement, we discover God's requirement of us before he will give us the wisdom we need. If we want wisdom, we must come right up alongside of God in order to obtain it. So, you know, we have to be diligent, I guess is the word that's coming to me. And, you know, always be seeking godly wisdom You know, we always need to be seeking knowledge, you know, because God is the Word. You know, we need to be really focusing in. You see, I want to continue reading. You see, God wants a relationship with us. He doesn't want us just freely to just freely hand out answers to our problems. He wants us to come to Him. And the moment we get side by side with God, He opens His hand and reveals everything we need to know and understand about the situations we are facing. You know, and I'm going to be the first one to admit, you know, you know, I've been really working on my patience with myself, you know, and things. And so I need to be more, you know, how do I want to say this? Aware that, you know, God's with me. He's right beside me here. I just got to, you know, acknowledge that He's here and all the little things that, you know, and really be seeking Him and know that He's with us and He wants the best for us. So often, however, the believers allow themselves to become too busy with the affairs of life. Does that not hit the nail on the head? And they fail to take time out of their hectic schedules to get into the intimate presence of God. They want God to meet their need on demand, but they don't want to fulfill God's need to be close to His people. You know, it goes along with that psalm, as the deer panteth, you know, he's thirsty, you know. We got to be thirsty for the things of God. We got to be thirsty. We really need His wisdom in, you know, these such a time as this. Let me turn the page here. Because when I was reading this, I highlighted some things. And okay, here, I want to. But be prepared. Now, this is good. But be prepared for God to show you additional things you weren't expecting to see. When you come into His glorious light, that light penetrates you and reveals defects and dark places in your soul and behavior patterns that need to be changed. But if you stay out of God's presence, it is very possible that these defects may never become apparent to your own eyes, for many things can only be revealed by getting into His presence. Could it be that you have avoided the presence of God because you're afraid of what you might see in yourself if you came into the glorious light? And when I was reading, I was thinking, you know, it's the truth that sets you free, the light of truth. You know, maybe godly wisdom is being hindered, or the answers what we need are being hindered because we need to maybe acknowledge some flaw that we have, or some sin, or some whatever. And the list could be, you know, long. Everybody's got their different, you know, thing on that list. But maybe we need to repent, I guess is the word that comes up. And then God's going to be more apt to give us godly wisdom in all these questions that we need answered. Let me continue reading. Once you fulfill this requirement of getting right alongside of God, He is obligated to give you the wisdom you seek for Him. That is why James says that God gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. That word giveth is the Greek word dinotios, which comes from the word dynomai. The word dynomai means to give, but the form used here is, now I'm probably butchering these, how I'm saying these Greek words, dinotios, which means one who is in the habit of constantly giving. This surely tells us that God is not one who holds out on His people or who refrains from giving them wisdom when they need it. Instead, James tells us that God is in the habit of giving wisdom to his people when they need it. He is the giving God. And you know what just comes to me is, you know, June has been telling us, you know, I mean, you know, when we fasted a while back, you know, God gave us revelation about this. And you know, the more we seek him and everything, he's going to let us know before we even ask him to prepare for this or prepare for that. And then we wonder why he's, and then boom, here it is right in our face of the things that's happening in the world. That, well, that's why he wanted us to go that way. So he's always, you know, leading and guiding us. We may not even know it, but, you know, when we come up along, just think of that. When we come up alongside of him and really seek him and, you know, really, you know, acknowledge him in all things, you know, he's going to be sharing his godly wisdom that we so lack. And let me continue reading. Now, does God give us wisdom needed when we meet his requirement to come close to him? He promises to give us liberally. Okay. The words abideth not are from the Greek word one ezendio, which means to rebuke or to reprove. However, in this case, the word me is used in front of this word, making the entire Greek phrase, and I can't even pronounce this long word, which means to not rebuke or to not reprove. In other words, God is not, will not rebuke you or reprove you for asking anything of him. You are his child, and he wants you to have the wisdom you need for life. You'll find God to be open-hearted and ready to answer any question you ever put to him. But before he gives you those answers, he first wants you to fulfill his requirement of coming alongside of him, where he can love you and fellowship with you, and where you can feel and experience his love. Amen to that. In that up-close, side-by-side encounter with God, you'll also be aware of all the other areas in your life that need attention. Amen there. And here's the good news. In his glorious presence, God will not only make you aware of these areas that need adjustment, he will also give you the power and ability to change. That word to change, boy, I highlighted that because we all want change. Lord, change me. That was one of my first prayers, and I'll never forget that. When I got born again and was in front of the altar at the Abundant Life Church in Harlan, Iowa, and I found myself face down, and that was my first prayer. Lord, I need change. Change me. And if you don't want change in your life, there's a problem here. James 1:5 says that if you will meet God's requirements to come close to him, the giving God will give you the wisdom and answers you need. So don't let yourself rush in and out of the presence of God too quickly any longer. It's time for you to learn how to spend time in the presence of the Lord so he can shine his glorious light upon your life. Let him bathe you in his glory. And in his glory, in his all, I mean, to me, that's his all-surpassing knowledge of who God is. That's my definition for glory. You know, because we can't even fathom, you know, the knowledge that God has, you know. And he wants to bathe us in his glory. And it's like, whoa, wow. You know, we can't even fathom his, you know, let us let his glory shine on you, reveal the dark areas in your life that need to be changed. Stay in his presence long enough to let the wisdom you're seeking sink in your spirit and soul. Never forget that God is the giving God who wants to meet your need. But for that need to be met, you have to come right up alongside him. You can only do that by making room in your daily schedule for spending time in his presence. And then it says here, are you ready to include God in your schedule today? Yes, we got to make, you know, time for him. So let's go back to that. If any of you lack wisdom, you know, that word lack is, you know, short, or how do I want to say this here? A shortfall, scarcity, a deficiency. You know, are you lacking that wisdom? You know, biblical wisdom is a God-given capacity to apply knowledge. You know, God's word, and to understand it righteously, aligning with God's will for sound judgment and godly living. You know, righteous judgment. You know, people say, oh, you're not supposed to judge. No, we're called to judge every day, but it needs to be sound, righteous judgment, you know, in with your godly living. It involves the fear of the Lord, understanding life from God's perspective, not out here the world's way. We can see that's deceiving. And then acting on it with discernment and doing what is right in God's eyes. You know, we have to have discernment because there's so much perverseness and whatever going on out here. Half-truths. Unlike worldly knowledge, all the ways of the world, the flesh, the devil, using biblical wisdom that is from the Lord. You know, we have to get biblical wisdom, not wisdom from the ways of man. James 3:17 says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy, with good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. Now, where's my notes? You know, wisdom is not just human intelligence, but a gift from the Lord God Almighty that enables discerning judgment and righteous action. Excuse me. I need to take a drink of water here. You know, discerning judgment. The Bible teaches that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs 1:7, meaning a deep respect and awe for God and a desire to live in obedience to his will. You know, wisdom involves knowing true facts, or let's say God's word, knowledge. You know, and so that's why we have to really dig into God's word, and like I like to do, and which I'm going to do here just right shortly, you know, words that you think you know but really don't know, you might want to look them up in the dictionary. I mean, I've got three dictionaries, 1, 2, 3, sitting right here in front of me. And I'm going to share this one. It's my Bible dictionary. Here's another Bible pictorial Bible dictionary. And then here's an old, just regular dictionary, which I want to share something with you about that, which I thought, wow, when I was looking up this word. But it's grasping what it means, understanding that word. You know, when you look up that word and you get, a little more understanding of that word, that knowledge, grasping what it means, understanding, and then applying them to live out what is right, you know, righteousness. So you got to dig into the words. And so I want to go back to that in James 3, verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure and peaceful, gentle, and easy to be entreated. Stop there. Easy to be entreated. What does that mean? You know, that word entreated is asking earnestly, beg and pray, implore, requesting, you know, in prayer. It's an appeal, it's a petition, you know. So it says here, gentle and easy to be entreated. It should be easy to go to the Lord and say, Lord, please, can you give me wisdom on this, you know, thing that I'm dealing with? You know, maybe it's to deal with someone that's working on your car and you got a, you know, wisdom, you know. So it should be easy, you know, to go to the Lord and ask him earnestly, you know, Lord, you know, that's what he wants us to do, you know, to appeal to him, come to him, you know, with an earnest, you know, heart. He knows already, but we have to, you know, come to him. Amen. Wisdom is not just theoretical. It's about practical application of truth in specific situations for good purposes. You know, it's practical application. Lord, you know, just, you know, we come to him and earnestly, you know, and he's just going to, you know, God is simple. He's going to give us a simple answer. We just got to grasp it, you know, and hear him. You know, biblical wisdom is described as, once again, James 3:17, from above. And first of all, is pure and peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits. Full of what? Mercy. Compassion, you know, as we come to him and just, you know, Lord, you know, earnestly beg or implore or whatever, you know, he's full of compassion. He's like, yeah, look at, they're coming to me. You know, he ain't going to judge us and slam us. He's, you know, he knows the faults of man. He's full of mercy and good fruits, you know. When we do this, there's going to be positive, you know, we'll have positive consequences when we come to him and we seek him with all our heart, you know, and he's going to have compassion. He's going to give us the right answer. You know, that's going to be to where we'll have a positive, you know, outcome of the situation that we're asking about wisdom for, instead of having a negative consequences, you might say. You know, without partiality and without hypocrisy, you know, without partiality, you know, true godly wisdom, without hypocrisy, you know, it's not a false appearance of goodness or religion, you know, pretending to what, to be what it says not, you know, it's the truth. It's not a false religion, you know. It's godly. You know, Proverbs 1:31 says, therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be fulfilled, excuse me, and be filled with their own devices. You know, when I read that, I always thought, boy, I had to ponder that a little bit. Think about that. You know, I'm gonna turn back to that Proverbs. Whoops, put my marker there. Proverbs 1:31, because therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. You know, if we're going to go our own way, we're going to eat the fruit of it. And we'll be filled with what their own devices, their own, you know, the outcome is going to be our own. It ain't going to be godly. And if you you read this, in Proverbs 1 from verse 20 through 33, it's about wisdom speaks. And so I want to read that because, you know, it's just so good. Wisdom speaks. This is Proverbs 1 verse 20. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the street. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, streets, you know, in the opening of the gates, in the city, she uttered her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. You know, how long are you going to just go your own way and do your own thing? You're hating knowledge. You're hating God's, the truth. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called ye, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. You know, God's stretching out his hand toward, come to me. People aren't regarding what he has to say. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. You know, you're not getting the answers that you want, and oh, you're getting this fear because of all the whatever. You know, it says, I will mock you when fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Remember what I was just saying, you know, just when you really need God, then you come to him. You know, God might not be there. You know, it's what it's saying here. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge. They hated the truth. Because it's the truth that sets you free and deliver you. We're going to talk about that. For they hated knowledge and they did not choose the fear of the Lord. They did not reverence wisdom. They did not reverence, you know, godly counsel. That would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But so who hearken unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. There was the answer. But whoso hearkeneth unto me, the Lord's wisdom, shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. You know, your mind's not going to be rattling up there. Oh, I need this answer. And do I go there? Do I go here? No. When you get in godly counsel and wisdom and you really seek the Lord, you know, you're going to be more calm, cool, and collective about all this stuff that we're seeing out here. You know, it's crazy. We live in some crazy times. That's why we got to have biblical wisdom. And if you don't seek it, you're going to be filled with your own devices. You know, you're going to eat the fruit of it. You know, because it's saying here, you know, to me, it's this, you know, wisdom, I see it as wisdom is spirit. You know, it says that she cries out in her voice, come near to me. You know, come near to me. Here I am. Let me present good things, show you the way of righteousness, peace, joy, you know, in the Lord. It's what's this psalm doing? It's saying, it's an exhortation. You know, in Greek, parakletos literally means a calling near. It's an invitation. You know, but some will refuse the Lord's wisdom, and it ain't going to be good. The consequences aren't going to be good. You know, Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. That sums that up a little bit, don't it? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You know, we can have all this knowledge, the knowledge of all the stuff, I mean, and I can't think of the scripture now, but it says something like, you know, in the latter days, there's going to be an increase of knowledge. You know, you can jump on your computer and punch in anything and get all this, the answers. But it ain't godly knowledge. You know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You know, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And boy, we can see that, can't we? And so, you know, when I was doing this and I was thinking about this, and it's like, question, why is it so important to get the wisdom of our Heavenly Father? Why is it so important to get that wisdom, that knowledge from His Word? You know, which is knowledge, and to be able to understand it. you know, clearly. We need to have clarity, you know, and then when we seek the Lord for wisdom, he's going to give us more clarity. Amen. You know, and, you know, we have to have faith and trust in it. You know, what we're reading here, we want, you know, we want to be able to understand what his word says. Lord, we're seeking wisdom in this situation, whatever it be. You know, we're looking for knowledge through God's word to help direct our path in the situation, whatever it is. You know, and there's probably lots of answers, you know, because there's so many different people in different situations, what's really going on, but it's, so why is it important? Why is it important to get godly wisdom? Well, one of the answers, let's turn to Proverbs 2. Proverbs 2. And Proverbs 2 is about the reward of heeding wisdom. Okay? And I'm going to go down to verse 12. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. And boy, do we not see so much evil out there, so much deception out there, you know, and it just breaks our heart sometimes. Me and June sit here sometimes just, we're in awe of what we're seeing happening, you know. So godly wisdom, understanding his word, you know, seeking it, you know. And one of the reasons why is what? To deliver thee from the way of evil man, from the man that speaketh perverse. There, that's what that word means, perverse. It means contrary to what? Contrary to God's word. And I was thinking about this right before, you know, just a little bit before we come on here. I was reading this and I'm like, wow, well, what's something, you know, how can I better say that? And here it is. What are they doing today? They're speaking perverse, contrary to God's word. Is it, and I didn't look up the scripture for this, but it's what the Bible says. In the latter times, they'll call good evil and evil good. And if you don't have eyes to see that, and which many people don't, that's why me and June, and I'm sure a lot of you out there today that are listening to this can see that. Where we see all this, they're making evil good and good evil. And we're coming on that fast and hard. And that's what the scripture is saying here. I want to read this down from the first verse. And this is Proverbs chapter 2. My son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifted up thy voice for understanding. Ain't this everything that we've been talking about here? If thou seekest her, who's her? Wisdom. As silver and searches for her, wisdom. As for hidden treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom out of his mouth. cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He's a shield. You know, when we really seek the Lord, you know, and about all the whatever it might be, you know, the chaos that's going on in the world right now, you know, and it's coming right at us, and maybe we're getting all down and out and anxiety, whatever. Well, it says here, he is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. That buckler, that word is shield. You know, God's word, his wisdom is our shield that goes before us and blocks out all that fear and anxiety and whatever it might be. Praise the Lord, huh? Lord, right now, I just thank you for godly wisdom. Lord, I ask that you would pour out godly wisdom on each person that hears this message today, Lord. Your word says that it's sound. It says that you lay up sound wisdom for the righteous. Lord, I pray that you will lead us and guide us by your Spirit in the way of righteousness for your name's sake, Lord. Because your word says that you are a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Lord, you are our shield from all this chaos and all the whatever it might be that we have an issues with, Lord. So, Lord, I just thank you that you put up your shield to us as we seek your face, Lord, and seek your word and seek truth, because it's what sets us free, Lord. So we thank you that you are, you know, our buckler. Amen. And says verse 8, he keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. The way. Just underline that. The way. There's a whole message in that. And I did it now. It's been a long time back about the way. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. You know, he's not preserving the way to all these people that don't even seek him, don't even care about the wisdom of the Lord. But those that do, the true believers and the saints, his saints, says he preserveth the way. You know, today in... I was talking to a dear, dear friend of mine who I've been ministering to, and I told, and I think we can all see this, the line is being drawn in the sand right now. You're either going to be on the way of the light or you're walking in the way of darkness. You know, and we thank the Lord that, you know, he keeps the path of judgment and preserves the way of his saints. We thank you, Lord, that you preserve our way, Lord. Help us to walk in the way of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. I remember when I was in children's ministry, I used to always tell them that. That was one of my, you know, happiness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the way. Verse 9, then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. And that word equity is fairness. Then thou shalt understand righteousness and judgment. There's that word judgment. We shall understand it, you know, a righteous judgment. And fairness and every good path. Lord, help us to walk on that path of righteousness. When, verse 10, when wisdom entereth into thy heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. And I wanted to, where is it here? I thought I had a note on this. Let's see if I can find it here. Hang on a second. I wanted to touch on that word. Again, you know, you know, I'd like to look up words and stuff, and I thought I had that one word, but I guess I don't. Verse 12, to deliver thee from the way of evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the path of unrighteousness, who leave the path of unrighteousness to walk in the way of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the forwardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and they forward in their paths. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even the stranger which flattereth her words. Who forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death and her path unto the dead. And I want to stop there for a second because I want to go back here to, you know, we were talking about deliverance a little earlier. What do we need to be delivered from? It says here, you know, when we really seek the Lord and his path, the righteousness, what? To deliver thee from the strange woman. Even from the stranger which flattered with her words. This strange woman. This wicked woman, you might say. Because it says here, which forsaketh the guide of her youth. You know, this strange woman forsaketh the guide of her youth. When she was young, you know, she probably was being guided the way she should go. But no, she forsake that guidance when she, how she was taught when she was young. And forgetteth the covenant of her God. Wow. For her, this strange woman, her house inclineth unto death, and her path unto the dead. And I was thinking about that. And this strange woman, and you know, pondering it and thinking about it, to me, it's a spirit. This strange woman is the spirit of immorality, wickedness, wrongdoing, incapable of understanding right from wrong. Because what were we saying? Because nowadays, what it's going on, they're pushing, you know, good is evil and evil is good. Well, this spirit of immorality is that, incapable of understanding right from wrong, bad character of conduct, you know, lying, stealing. This strange woman, none that go unto her return again, neither take thy hold of the paths of life. Is that not sad? That thou mayest walk in the way of good men, and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out. Whoa. You know, this spirit of immorality. You know, and when I was pondering that, you know, it's more than just sexual immorality. Okay, you can turn to 1 Corinthians 6:18, Galatians 5:19, 1 Thessalonians 4:3, and get more on that. But let's turn, put your finger here, but let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. And this is one of my favorite chapters here. You know, it's this spiritual immorality, you might say, this wickedness, this wrongdoing, and all this. What is that? It's the lack of virtue. And what is virtue? Moral excellence, goodness, kindness. In Hebrew, it means strength and ability. Moral worth. In Greek, it means any excellence of a person or thing. Dynamis, power, influence. Well, right here in Philippians chapter 4, in verse 8, it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure. Remember, God's wisdom is pure. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. You know, when you're dealing with this strange woman, the spirit of immorality means you're lacking virtue. You're lacking understanding of God's word because you're not digging into it enough, maybe. So it's more than just about sexual, you know, which immorality, a lot of people think that, you know, oh, you're sexual, but it's lust, it's evil desires, it's greed. You know, it's the root of adultery, you know, is the spirit of immorality. It begins with our eyes the moment we look at any man or woman in a lustful way. But that's that spirit. That's what I'm seeing. The wisdom to deliver thee from the way of evil man, from the man that speaketh perverse things, you might say, saying evil is good and good is, you know. I'm looking at my notes here. And, you know, then, you know, we can just say, wow. You know, because it says here, he shall be, you know, he that trusted, this is Proverbs. Let's turn to go back to Proverbs. You know, Proverbs 2, what does it say? To deliver thee from the way of evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things. And then go to Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28 says, verse 26, he that trusted in his own heart is a fool, but who walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. And my question is, delivered from what? You know, and that list could be really long, could it not? You know, what is it that you are facing today that you may need to be delivered from? And deliverance is a big thing. It's serious. And you have to have godly wisdom from the knowledge and understanding of his word to be delivered from most stuff, if not everything. You know, what do you need to be delivered from? Bad health, financial, a hypocritical spirit. We talked about that. Whoa. A curse. the spirit of rebellion against God's word, spirits of confusion. We've been talking about that lately. Much confusion out there of things today. You know, God's word, knowledge, the truth, it is the truth that sets the captives free. That's how you're going to get delivered, by accepting change and you know. Proverbs, going back to Proverbs 3, you know, and Proverbs 3 is, again, exhortations to obedience. And it says, for my son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandment. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. When we're obedient to God's word, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about their neck. Write them on the tablet of thy heart. You know, God's word, as you study it, you know, ponder it, think about it. Bind it on the tablets of your heart. So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. You know, we pray for favor for people, for lots of things. You know, you're seeking a new job and you got an interview. You know, let's pray for that person that he'll have favor. You know, that he'll find, you know, good understanding in the sight of God and man. This where you're seeking a new job or whatever it might be, you know, favor. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. You know, Holy Spirit, give us help us to understand the situation that, you know, we're dealing with today in our life. You know, and again, that list could be long. Each one of us have different things we're dealing with. You know, could be with your children, your job, your finances, or whatever, you know. Give us understanding, Lord, so that in all our ways we will acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. You know, we have to acknowledge the Lord. Lord, you know, that he's right beside us. Remember, we're talking about this. He's our God, and we got to acknowledge him in all our ways. And I'm working on that. I think we all need to. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. You know, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Well, the key word is there, through. You got to walk through. You know, we're seeing all this chaos and all this stuff. You know, walk right through that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. No. You got to walk through all the crap going on in the world today. Seek the Lord. Fear the Lord. And depart from that evil that's all around us. It shall be the way. It shall be health to thy navel. And marrow to thy bones. In my little footnote here, it says refreshment. It shall be health to thy navel and refreshment unto thy bones. How many of you out there today need a refreshing? Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you that your word will penetrate our soul, Lord. Our mind, our will, and our emotions, that we can make wise decisions. We can see clearly the path that we want to walk, Lord. And when we see clearly more and we can understand, and when you're giving us wisdom to deal with all this stuff, it's a refreshing to know that you're giving us the answers. The answer is Jesus. Amen. There's the refreshing. Verse 9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thy increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. But you can read the rest of this chapter 3 in Proverbs, and it's about exhortations to obedience. Amen. Let's turn to Proverbs 4, just the next page. And Proverbs 4, it's about the Father's wisdom. You know, we're not seeking the wisdoms of this world, the wisdom of man. Hear ye, children, the instructions of a father, and attend to understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law, for I was my father's son, tender only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thy heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither incline from thy words of my mouth. Forsake her not. Forsake who? Her. And who is her? Wisdom. To me, it's a spirit of wisdom. Forsake her not, for she shall preserve thee. And just put your name in there. She shall preserve me. Dennis Weir. Love her, love wisdom, love godly wisdom, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. You're embracing God's godly wisdom. Exalt her, Lord. Father God, we just thank you so much right now, Lord. Lord, we just raise our hands right now, Lord. We exalt you. We praise you, Lord. We just can't thank you enough for godly wisdom, Lord. We give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise, Lord. There is none other than like you, Lord. We thank you for wisdom, godly wisdom. Amen. You know, embrace her. Verse 9, she shall give to thy head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hallelujah. Ain't that awesome? When you seek godly wisdom with all your heart and do these things, you know, that we're talking about here, she shall give to thy head an ornament of grace. Boy, we need grace, don't we? I know I thank the Lord every morning for his grace, you know, because it's new every morning. So in the mornings, Lord, we thank you for your grace that you shed upon us, you know. We just, you know, your grace and your mercy. So, let me turn my page here. You know, God's word, knowledge, the truth, it's the truth that sets the captives free. Amen. Okay, let's turn to Ephesians 3. Oh, here's that note I was looking for before. I want to go back to this here quick first. In Proverbs chapter 2, and let's see here. Where was it here? Here it is. Verse 9, then shalt thou understand righteousness. This is talking about heeding wisdom, the reward of heeding wisdom. Then shalt thou understand righteousness. You know, when you heed wisdom, then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. But that word equity, fairness, justice, to what is fair and just, system of rules and principles based on fairness and justice. You know, so then shall thou understand righteousness and judgment and fairness, you know. To be able to judge fair, you know, on fairly on everything, you know, based on, you know, fairness, I guess, is what it's saying. And then verse 11, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. And then there's that word discretion. Discretion, you know, shall preserve thee. And that word discretion, freedom to judge or choose. So when they say you're not to judge, no. It's saying here, discretion shall preserve you. You know, freedom to judge or choose. Good judgment, carefulness in speech or action, wise, caution. You know, so we have to have discretion. You know, we have to judge wisely. It's a good judgment. You know, we make judgments every day about things. Amen. Okay, let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. And when I was reading this, I thought, wow, what's that word mean? And we're going to talk about this word here in a minute. Ephesians 3. Let's see, where do I want to start? Well, let's just, I guess 10 is my main verse. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Okay, and that word manifold, you know, it means many of many kinds, many and various, having many parts or forms, doing many things at the same time. So, to the intent, to the purpose, you know, to the intent, the significance of everything, that now to the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known the church, the manifold present, or excuse me, the manifold wisdom. You know, there's all kinds of various, you know, aspects of God's wisdom. You know, it has many parts, and just like when, like you say, the knowledge, you know, that the glory of God, the all-surpassing knowledge. To me, like I was saying, that's the definition of glory. It's the all-surpassing knowledge of God, you know. And this manifold wisdom, you know, there's so many different various things that how it, you know, it can be used, or how it can, you know, you can use it, you know, because we each have different things. We're coming to the Lord asking for wisdom. You know, there's many parts or forms of godly wisdom. And I just thought that was so, you know, wow. You know, God's wisdom ain't just his wisdom. It's like way out there past our comprehension. And this verse means that God's multifaceted plan of, you know, when you read this whole first part of this chapter, you know, and this is about Paul's mission to the Gentiles. Let's just read this here, Don, to come to this so we can get a better grasp of it all. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, he's coming to the Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, word, now that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, you know, those hidden truths, as I wrote before in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. You know, he wants people to come to the revelation of who Jesus is. You know, he's coming to the Gentiles and he's like, whoa, man, look what, you know, God revealed this all to me, you know, and I want you to understand this. I want you to understand the knowledge that he's got about the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So he's saying, hey, man, I received this knowledge about the mystery of Christ. And, man, I want to share it with you guys, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, you know, with what? With Jesus, and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. You know, the gospel message. You know, he wants the Gentiles to grasp hold of that, come alongside. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God. Ooh, nothing like the gift of grace. Given to me by the effectual working of his power. You know, Paul was a humble servant. And to me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given. You know, we know Paul's story. Boy, didn't God give him, pour out his grace and his mercy, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And me, I got a footnote here, his glory. You know, we're seeking God's glory, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Hallelujah. Verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, you know, for all the ages. Verse 10, to the intent, to the purpose, to the intent, to the significance, you know, for all purpose, for all intents and purposes, that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church of the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, to whom we have the boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. But it was interesting, you know. This verse means that God's multifaceted plan of redemption, particularly with the Jews and the Gentiles, you know, he's saying, how do I want to say this? It's uniting the Jews and the Gentiles, you know, into a single body of believers in a display, you know, because he's drawing us all to him to display his wisdom that is revealed to spiritual beings. You know, he's looking, I'm bringing the Jews and the Gentiles, and we're all becoming one in Christ. And it's to what? To show the principalities and powers, you know. I'm trying to find that verse. But, you know, he's bringing us all together to show all these spiritual beings, good or bad, that look at with God's wisdom and his power. Look what I'm doing in men. Look what I'm doing in humanity. You know, it's kind of suggesting the church is the central part. You know, humanity, the church, the true believers are the central part of what God's cosmic plan, and, you know, serving as a visible demonstration of his wisdom, you know, to the angelic world. You know, it's like, wow, look at this, look what God can do. You know, and he's displaying his wisdom and power, you know, on earth to all these angelic beings. You know, it's uniting. And then if you go to Ephesians 2, I think it's Ephesians 2, yeah, verses 11, all the way down to the end, it's about the unity of all believers, true God-fearing church, not the false Jesus, the indoctrination, what's going on today. And I just thought of this morning, and that's why I'm just writing this down. I wasn't even going to get into that, but, you know, look what we're seeing today. You know, they're trying to unite everybody. Oh, we're all one big happy family. Well, that's not true. Because it's a false Jesus. You know, they're teaching false indoctrination because it's half truths. A lot of it sounds all good. They're tickling ears, all right. But, you know, here he's, you know, by the wisdom of God and understanding and all that, you know, that's bringing everybody together which, again, I never even thought about this until right now. That's the remnant church of the latter days. Amen. You know, and like it says here, going back up to verse 10, we're in Ephesians 3, to the intent, you know, the purpose. God has a purpose for each one of us, you know. We were born in such a time as this, you know. You know, having, you know, to the intent. But anyway, we just got to really seek the Lord. I guess that's about all I have for today. And Lord, we just thank you. And we praise you, Lord, for your word. And Lord, I ask that you would just draw each one of us closer to you, Lord. Draw us closer into the word, Lord. And I ask for understanding of your word, Lord. I ask that you would pour out your spirit of wisdom, Lord, in such a time as this, that we can, that it will guide us and lead us on that path of righteousness, Lord, for your name's sake, Lord. Your word is the truth that sets us free, Lord, and we just thank you, Lord, that we come to a better understanding of the times, Lord, to lead us, to guide us once again, Lord, with godly wisdom, Lord. So we just thank you, Lord, and we praise you for Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you sent Jesus down here, your son Jesus, to the earth. He gave us so much instructions, Lord, and he guided us in by his word, Lord, by the glory, the all-surpassing knowledge, Lord, of who you are, was come down here in Jesus, Lord. So we just thank you, Lord, that we come to that revelation knowledge of Jesus, that he draws us to repentance, Lord, draws us on the right path, Lord, and that we come to understand the cross. Jesus died on that cross for us. To what? To deliver us from sin, sickness, disease, calamity, all the fiery darts of the devil, Lord. We plead the blood of Jesus over our lives. Hallelujah, Lord. We just thank you that you are our shield and our buckler from the evil of the world. We thank you that Jesus died on that cross for us, Lord. And he rose again on the third day, and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, of you, Lord, making intercession for us right now, Lord. We thank you for your prayers for us, Lord. And we thank you for wisdom in guiding us and leading us. Hallelujah, drawing us closer to you, Lord, that we can be the light. For where there's light, there can be no darkness. So, Father, I ask that you just pour out your glory light, your love, Lord, in each one of us. Saturate us with the light of your love, the glory light, Lord. Hallelujah. That we can grasp it, cling on to the truth, your word, Lord, that will lead us and guide us. And we just thank you and praise you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Thank you, everybody, for being here. I hope.
Amen, Pastor. I tell you what, sir, it's a really on-time word today because wisdom, you know, it is a her. And when we seek her, you know, he's letting us know, Brad, basically, in a nutshell, is this. He's letting us know, you know, because a lot of us, we do a lot of research online, a lot of wisdom searching. You know, not really wisdom, but knowledge searching. You know, so God's encouraging us that if we would search him and we would trust him more, he would guide us and protect us and lead us to the right way. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So I want to tell you guys a story, and then we're going to take the offering. I was the first pastor that I served was actually a prophet. And she told me a story that I want to tell you guys today. And it's about obedience. Because all of us right now, we're going to have to be radically obedient in the coming days because of what I'm going to explain to you today in the news at 12. The dangers that's coming to our families. Okay, so anyway, she told me that God told her in a dream about obedience and said, I want you to take this brown paper bag. You're not going to know what's in it, but I want you to simply go to about three towns over, and I want you to deliver it to this location and do not stop and minister to nobody on the way or nothing. You do just what I said, just from go from A to Z and nothing in between. So she's like, okay. So she starts walking with this brown paper bag, like, what kind of assignment is this, you know? And she goes to the first town, and there's an airplane crash. And there's all these people jumping out of the plane on fire, and they're running to her to help her. But she remembers what God said. He said, do not stop or do anything. It's make haste and get to that town immediately. But all the world was pulling on her for help. But she was having to ignore them and continue marching because her assignment was to get to three towns over and deliver this immediately, okay? So then she gets to the next town, and there had been like an explosion, an earthquake or something. And all these people were dying in front of her left and right, and they were pulling on her, help me, you got to help me, I'm dying. But she had to continue looking forward and doing what God called her to do. And then she got to the next town. She said it was so hard when she saw all the people dying around her, not wanting to help. But when she got to the town, to the destination that God told her to get to, and she handed over the paper bag, it was such a simple assignment, but so hard. And God spoke to her, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Because there's always starving people. There's always people out there hurting that will distract you from your mission. That's why you have to know what you're called to do. Because people will tug on you from the right and left and get you off kilter. Distraction. To keep you from what you are called to do. Okay, so I want to encourage you guys in that, because right now in this tribulation time that we're in, there are so many needs out there and so much pulling on you, because our eyes are seeing. Papa, I'm going to have to mute you, honey. And I do want to tell you, Papa, we've got a rooster revolt going on outside. This rooster is outside my window just raising Cain, starving. So, anyway, that's how they do every morning. They come to the house and raise Cain. But anyway, so these people, that they continue, they'll pull on you because our eyes are seeing the devastation out here. And everybody is needing something. Okay, but if we focus on that and we take our eyes off what God has called us to do, I'm just encouraging you. You know, don't do that. Keep your eyes on the prize. You know, what God has called you to do. Because there's always going to be, you know, Jesus even told them, you remember they had Martha and all them all mad, you know. Why is she spending all this expensive stuff with her hair and this stuff, you know, washing your feet when we got all these starving people that could really have a lot of money out of this perfume? You know, Jesus is like, y'all have these people. They're always there. But you don't always have me, you know. In other words, what are you called to do out here? You know, and Dennis and I, we responded to this woman the other day. And I probably shouldn't say this publicly, so I'm going to stop the recording and tell you guys online. Hold up. Okay. So the point is that you will have, you know, a lot of people try to pull on you, but is that what God has called you to do? You know, just make sure you know so that you're not distracted and pulled away from your goal. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? So let's go ahead and take the offering. Lord, I just thank you that in your word in 2 Corinthians, you talk about being a cheerful giver. And I thank you, Lord, you bless those that give. and you bless them for their heart blessing you. And so we just thank you and give you praise, honor, and glory for blessing them back, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now, I will see you guys at 12 to do the news, okay? God bless.